Last weekend, my friend Adam called me up to ask if I'd like to go surf fishing with him on Sunday evening. I said, sure, and met him at Coast Guard Beach about 5:30. There were one or two other fishermen getting their gear out, including a somewhat grizzled character of about 60 who wore thick glasses and shorts that revealed very white legs with thin tattoos running down the outside of his ankles. He accosted us amiably, saying, "No point in you fellas going out. I aim to catch 'em all." We walked down the outside beach. The surf was fairly high and barreling into the shore, though high tide was still over 3 hours away. We walked quickly past most of the beachgoers, who were beginning to head in, and stopped about a third of a mile down the beach near a few other casters. We used two-hook leaders with dead sand eels as bait hooked through the eye and 3-ounce pyramidal lead weights. The idea is that the weight sits on the bottom and the motion of the waves moves the bait fish about, attracting feeding stripers. The aim is to cast your line beyond the breakers about 100 to 250 feet out, set the drag to a light pole, set the butt of the pole into the plastic sleeve set in the sand, and then wait for a strike. It was already dusk and growing dark, and soon we could no longer see the cast hit the water or the angle of the line, but played it by feel. The evening was nearly completely calm, and things appeared and disappeared as shadowy dark forms. A large flock of gulls flew by, coughing huskily, and I could hear a few yellowlegs whistling among them. Then a large black shape detached itself from the rim of a nearby tidal lagoon and spread huge wings into the dark evening sky, a great blue. To the west, a thin line of lights appeared on the far shore across Nauset Marsh. I thought of Henry Beston out here, looking at the scattered lights of East Ham Village from his little dune cottage more than 80 years ago. The lights are different now, more numerous and brighter, and the dunes are a mere suggestion of what the life-saving crew saw when they walked down the night beach from the old Coast Guard station. But the essence and the effect on us were the same, a sense of vast exposure and visible distance from the haunts of men, a freewheeling, circulating life, a place of primal gestations. We cast over and over into the calm, glassy swells, getting no strikes, so we set our poles and sat at the top of the berm. Adam broke out some lamb stew and cheese with crackers, and I shared my glass flask of Laphroaig. There was a softness, a gauziness to everything here such as I've never known on the beach before, so that the presence or absence of fish did not really matter, as it shouldn't. It seemed as if we sat on some far shore, desultorily engaged in one of the few interactions with the wild that still require little effort or skill. Our black poles sat in their black sockets, with only a slight bend and rocking of the tips registering the movement of the weight along the bottom, to let us know that we were tied by invisible filaments to the tumult of the waves beyond.